When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Vice Magazine podcast, your definitive guide to enlightening information. For the second installment of our fiction issue coverage, we're highlighting a story from a special subsection of the issue, which was dedicated to personal stories about losing one's temper. For the issue, we asked five authors to provide personal essays about losing their temper. Akhil Sharma wrote about a bully, Walter Kern wrote about a rooster, David Shields and Alan Pearl also participated. You can read their full stories on Vice.com, but today, we're highlighting Sadie Stein's essay called Rage Blackouts, which is also part of the subsection. Sadie came by the office to chat about talking in her sleep, her writing process, and more. Sadie, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Give us a synopsis of what your story was about in the issue.
Yeah, I was asked to write about, I think the actual prompt was losing your temper. And so I wrote about how I suppress my anger in everyday life, but it comes out in my terrifying screaming nightmares every night.
Yeah, it's a really great story. It's funny to me. I think it hits home in a way because I'm also the kind of person that I think my face is always just blank. Mm. Like if I'm happy or sad or excited or angry, it's just, you get the same from me.
Yeah.
Nothing ever really changes. So I thought it was interesting that if you're in a similar situation where you suppress your anger and then it comes out in this really surprising way where you have these nightmares and you aggressively talk in your sleep. Can you talk a bit more about that?
Yeah. I think if you meet me day to day, you wouldn't describe me as having a bad temper. I try to be fair and controlled. I come from a really emotional family, a lot of people with very bad tempers. My parents, my brother, everyone is really mean to each other. And from a pretty early age, I tried to control that because there's just so much fallout. I saw my parents feuding with family members, always having dramatic breakups with friends, or suddenly be screaming all the time. I just very early on determined I did not want that kind of drama in my life. But of course, it's still in me. And so I have these, apparently, I had to be told, these nightmares where I'm just screaming violent, angry things at people all the time. And sometimes it is my mom, it's true. But more often, it'll be like some random tiny incident from my real life where like I'll feel someone was rude to me in the checkout line and I didn't say anything, but clearly it made some kind of impression. And then in my sleep, I'm just like screaming curses at them, like threatening to choke them, so out of control and violent and inappropriate that it totally freaks out whoever overhears it.
What age were you when you sort of found out that you were doing that?
I first realized that it was kind of a problem at sleepaway camp, of course. So I was 13. And people were so weirded out that they didn't even tease me. They were just like, what the hell? And then I kind of thought I'd gotten it under control, but I think I just went, like, no one heard it. And it wasn't until I got a serious boyfriend who was sleeping in my bed regularly that he like commented on it, and he was like, I don't really know how to address this. Well, the first few times, you know, you're screaming and yelling and punching, so someone will wake you up and be like, it's okay, it's okay, it's a dream. And I was like, what's the problem? And finally he was like, this is really weird, and I want to talk to you about if you have like suppressed abuse in your past or something. Uh-huh. I was like, what? No. And he's like, because you were really, really, the things you were saying were really disturbing. I was like, no. That was about like this girl in my creative writing seminar, and she wrote like the worst piece. And so this pattern developed where every time he'd wake me up, we realized it was something really petty that I was screaming and reacting to violently. And then this happened in subsequent years with subsequent boyfriends and stuff. I, from around that time, have avoided as much as possible spending the night with people. And I've warned people, and like at their peril sometimes, I'll be like, oh, whatever, it's no problem, on road trips and stuff. And then it just freaks them out. It also makes it hard to sleep. Like my husband has to wear pretty heavy-duty earplugs. I have tried tranquilizers, sleeping pills. Nothing really gets rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
It can diminish it, but it's a real parasomnia weirdness.
Have you ever tried to figure out why you do this or why your anger comes out in this way?
Yeah, and I've talked to, you know, shrinks about it and stuff. And basically, they all say you have to find a healthy outlet for that stuff. But, you know, I'm not going to start running. I'm not going to start yelling at the person in the checkout line. I'm sure there are ways, kickboxing or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it points to deeper reservoirs of rage that probably need to be addressed in some way. But I actually think it's a fairly efficient method. Like, as long as there are earplugs and it doesn't bother me that much during the day, like, it's getting out. And that seems to me to be the main thing.
Do you find that this happens when you take naps as well? Because in the story, you mentioned something about you try not to fall asleep on airplanes.
It does happen whenever I fall asleep. So I make a point of trying not to fall asleep in public. I've freaked out some people on planes before. So luckily, I'm neurotic enough that it's sort of hard for me to fall asleep. I'm not, you know, there was always like that boy in high school who could just like fall asleep in the middle of class and start drooling. I always really envied him that. I was like, oh, you must have such a like pure soul. In a way, to just be dropping off everywhere. Like, for me, it's kind of a process.
Yeah. I always worry that writing something like that will give away some part of me that feels weird to make public. Do you know what I mean?
Of course. I don't mind ever telling stories on myself. It's other people I worry about more. This one was easy because it was so clear to me. And actually, as soon as the topic came up, my husband was like, well, it's pretty obvious. You should be writing about your screaming nightmares, which I think he's in some ways more aware of than I am. But I think the trick with any personal essay is sort of balancing the specificity that makes it funny and interesting with enough universality. Like, you can't think anything that happens to you is definitionally fascinating. It's a low bar to entry, but a high bar to making it resonate in any kind of way.
Are there any weird quirks or ways that you write or ways that you have to write? Or can you just sort of write wherever you are, no matter what?
I mean, I guess I'm not too precious about it, but I do, especially for something like this, tend to have it all written out in my head before I put it down. The physical writing is pretty fast for me. That's the easy part. But the trick, I think probably most people would tell you this, is to find your way in. And once you have it, that's not the hard part. And pieces like this are a pleasure to write because they're genuine. You don't do them unless you have something you want to talk about. It's when you're given some topic you couldn't care less about, right, or have to write a profile of someone you don't care about and try to pretend there weren't three press agents in the room. That's, you know, that's hard. That's more the craft of it, I guess. But this kind of piece, it's fun, it's cathartic. I know I probably come off as disturbed, but whatever. I mean, we all are in our different ways.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I guess to end, is there anything else that you want to share before we go?
The only thing I'd want to say on the record that I didn't is just that I've always really loved Amy's work, and I've gotten to edit her, so it was really neat to be asked to write for her and to work together that way.
The Vice Magazine podcast is a production of Vice Media. This episode was produced and edited by Sophie Kazis. For more info on the podcast or how to subscribe to the magazine, visit vice.com. And be sure to subscribe to the Vice Magazine podcast on Apple Podcasts, Acast, or any podcast app you use. Leave us a rating and review and let us know what you think. I'm Ellis Jones, and I'd like to give a special thanks to Sadie Stein. We're taking the next 2 weeks off for the holidays, so come back January 10th for the next episode. Thanks for listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.